Let's go ahead and begin this evening. And we're in Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. All right, here we go. Job 23, and it's only 17 verses long, so it's a shorter chapter, but we'll cover it tonight. Okay, Job 23, verse 1. Says, then Job replied, even today my complaint is rebellion. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me. Would he contend with me by the greatness of his power? No, surely he would pay attention to me. There the upright would reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, and I cannot see him. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lip. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him. Therefore I would be dismayed at his presence, when I consider I am terrified of him. It is God who has made my heart faint, and the Almighty who has dismayed me. But I am not silenced by the darkness, nor deep gloom which covers me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time to meet together, Lord, and to be together as a church tonight, and Lord, to gather around your word, and Lord, we pray that you might impart to us the very words of life, Lord, that you would confirm to us, Lord, your presence, Lord, your love, and the guidance that you give to your people, Lord, how it is that you, in your providence, Lord, plot out all the days of our life, and Lord, how you use those things for our good and for your glory, even the trials that we face. Lord, we see Job's faith that he knew that he would come forth from this as gold, even though so many things were difficult and hard for him to understand. So, Lord, we pray that even in the midst of our trials and, Lord, in the midst of our weaknesses, Lord, we pray that we might still have faith and, Lord, that we might be as Job was, Lord, a man of perseverance, Lord, of steadfastness, and, Lord, seeing how it is that you dealt with him, Lord, may it be a confirmation of how it is that you will deal with all of your children, Lord, bringing us through every trial and temptation so that we arrive safely into your heavenly kingdom. And it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, in Job chapter 23, Job is responding to Eliphaz's accusations that we saw in the preceding chapter. And in this chapter, it's a really good one because on the one hand, you still see Job's difficulty of trying to understand what's going on. Yet at the same time, he has not abandoned God. He's still trusting in the Lord. He believes in the goodness of God. He knows that God is going to bring him through this and that it is ultimately going to end in his good, that he will come forth as gold. So it is a great confirmation. You know, I in the prayer I mentioned, and we'll read it here in a little bit, in James chapter 5, there, the Apostle James commends Job as a man of steadfastness, of perseverance, that he continued and was faithful to the Lord, even though he went through very hard trials. And I think chapter 23, you see the steadfastness of Job, how even though he's been afflicted with such great afflictions, and even though his own friends have come and are not helping him and comforting him, yet Job maintains his integrity and still trusts in the Lord and is committing his cause to God, right? He's not abandoning or running from the Lord. He wants to draw near to him and he wants to speak to God himself. So it is a good example of that steadfastness that we all need. So let's begin in verse 1. In verses 1 to 7, here Job expresses his desire to plead his case to God, right? To go to God and to plead his case. So he's not abandoning God. He's not running and turning away from God. You know, we remember that his wife told him to curse God and die. And that Satan told the Lord that if he afflicted Job, that Job would abandon him, that Job would forsake him. The only reason he was faithful was because God had set a hedge of protection around him. And yet we see here that even after these great afflictions, Job still longs to draw near to God and to be in communion with God, though he is afflicted with such great turmoil. So let's begin there in verse 1. It says, "Then Job replied, 'Even today my complaint is rebellion. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments.'" Here we see Job's faith, right? He still has his faith. He wants to draw near to God. He wants to be in the presence of God. He wants to speak, and then he wants God to answer him and to teach him, right? These are the things that he desires from God. So when he says that this is rebellion, he doesn't mean that literally or that he is in rebellion, but this is what his friends are saying, that Job, you are a rebellious man, but he's not a rebellious man. He's a man who trusts in God and who wants to draw near to him, right? This is his faith, even in the midst of hardships, difficulties, confusion, weakness, right? He's surrounded with darkness, but he still maintains the desire to draw near to God, to come before him, to present his case to God. And then in verse 5, he says that God would teach him, that I would learn the words which he would answer me and perceive what he would say to me. So he's not going to God to try to discredit the Lord. He knows that God is the fount of all wisdom. And what is unclear and dark to him is clear and light to the Lord. And that if God would teach him, then Job will receive whatever God says, right? So he's not coming as a skeptic, as a rebel, as someone who's trying to subvert and overthrow the counsels of God. He wants to come into God's presence. He wants to present his case to him. But he's doing so that God will teach him, so that he can learn from the Lord and so that he can grow in his understanding of God and of God's ways in the world. In verse 6, he says, "Would he contend with me by the greatness of his power? No, surely he would pay attention to me. There the upright would reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge." Right? He knows that God is great, that God is powerful, but that God is also a God who is full of mercy, and that God is merciful and compassionate and gracious to his people. He trusts in the covenant faithfulness of God, that though God could, if he wanted to, squash him like a bug, he knows that God isn't going to do so because God has promised goodness to his people, faithfulness to his people, and that God would be with him, and that God would bless him and encourage him and strengthen him, and that God would not reject him at all. So he has confidence in the goodness and the mercy of God. And it reminds us of it, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, where it tells us that we are to draw near through to the throne of grace, right, that we might receive mercy in our time of need. And this is what Job is expressing here, the desire to draw near to God, to receive mercy, wisdom, encouragement, understanding during his time of need. Right, what is unknown to Job and what is unknown to his friends, Job knows that everything is clear and known to God, and that God could reveal it to him, and he wants to draw near to God so that God can teach him, so that he can look at his situation the way that God looks at it, instead of it being filled with confusion and darkness. So that is what we see in the first 7 verses. This is not the attitude of a seditious, rebellious despiser of God. The wicked do not do this. Whenever God afflicts them, they blaspheme the name of God. They rant and they rave against God, but they're not wanting to come to God in order for God to teach them. But that's not Job, right? Job is a humble and a godly man. Okay, then verses 8 and 9. Job here speaks of the fact that he cannot find, or he doesn't seem to feel or know where God's presence is. This isn't unbelief, but it's him expressing his feelings, what it is that he feels. So his faith assures him that God is near, that God is is always with him. He knows that that's the case. But in the present, because of the magnitude of his afflictions and because of the weakness of the flesh, it feels to him as if God has abandoned him and he doesn't know where to find him, right? So that's what he's saying in verses 8 and 9. He says, "Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, and I cannot see him." So here, he's not denying God's omnipresence, but he's lamenting the fact that there's a lack of comfort, assurance of God's presence with him. Right? This is his own perceptions of it. So wherever he goes, he feels like God is not there. If he goes forward, he's not there. If he goes backwards, God is not there. If God is working on his left, he cannot see it or perceive it. If he's on his right, he cannot see it or perceive it. So wherever God is, it's unknown to Job, and he feels isolated, abandoned, in a state of almost like a spiritual darkness or a spiritual desertion. Right? And there are many passages in the Psalms where the prophet is speaking in like fashion. Right, that during times of affliction and hardship, that there are seasons that a person may go through in life, even a true believer, where they feel like God has abandoned them. And they don't sense his presence with them, though they know God is with them. It just doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it. And this is because we are weak, right? We are mortal. We are finite. We are limited, right? All of us would have great victorious faith, right? To stand tall and strong, right, in the face of all of our trials and tribulations, but we are so weak, right, in ourselves. And God will at times withdraw his presence even from his children, right, and let them go through seasons of what feels like desertion or darkness in order to teach them of their own weaknesses, right? And of his greatness and of his goodness. So this is part of our sanctification. And it's part of the trials and tribulations that we have to endure. Right? We all want to be on that Rocky Mountain High. Not the Rocky Mountain High of Colorado, right? But we all want those great spiritual moments where we feel the nearness of God. We feel the love of God, right? Where it's easy for us to read our Bibles and to pray and to speak about the things of God. But we know as well that there are times where it's very difficult to pray and it's very difficult to read our Bibles and we feel sluggish and weak. And there are times when we come to worship and we don't feel like God's presence is here. That doesn't mean that God has abandoned us and it doesn't mean that God isn't here, but it's our own weakness and our own unbelief. And yet the Lord will allow us to go through those times in order to test us and try us and for our own sanctification. And this is what Job is experiencing, right? And he's being honest. He's being honest about what he senses and what it is that he is experiencing. An example of this is Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Verses 1 and 2 says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" So here, David is saying essentially the same thing that Job is saying. God, it seems like you have forgotten me, that you have abandoned me, that you're hiding yourself from me. And how long is this going to go on and endure? And he wants to feel the nearness of God again. So there are times when even we may experience such days of darkness in our own Christian lives. Now, the good news is that our standing with God and God's love for his people is not based upon our feelings. It's never based upon our feelings. The love of God for his people is based always upon Jesus Christ and his work that he's done for us. And his work is perfect and complete and it's unchanging. So our standing with God is, it can never change. But our perceptions of it and the experiences of what is true in Christ, those things can be stronger or weaker in our own life. Our comfort, our hope, our joy, our assurance. Though our salvation cannot be changed, the subjective experience, the blessings, the comforts we derive from that, those things can be stronger or weaker depending on our faith, depending on God's presence, depending on the work of the Spirit in our life, right? And so that is what they're talking about here. It is the subjective experience of salvation and the benefits and blessings that God gives to His people that can feel like those things have been lost, where we have no joy, we have no peace, we have no comfort, we have doubts and fears, right? Or we may have very little joy or very little hope, very little comfort. So the objective reality is unchanging, but our perception of it, that is where the change comes. And during those times, we have to persevere. We have to live by faith in what we know to be true and not let our feelings dominate and rule and control our lives. Okay? Okay. Verse 10. Job's confidence that God's purpose in everything that is happening to him is for his good, right? Is for his good, and ultimately it will result in his sanctification. He says, "He knows the way I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." So even though Job says, "I cannot perceive God, I don't know if he's before me, behind me, to the right, or to the left," but he knows God sees me. He knows my ways. He is well acquainted with everything that I'm going through. Not only is he acquainted with it, he is the one that has brought all of this about, and the reason he has brought it about is to test me, right? God is testing me. He's trying me. He's bringing me through the fires of affliction, and I know that when I go through these fires of affliction, that I shall come out on the other side as gold. It's going to refine me and purify me, and God is doing this work in me in order to sanctify me. So Job sees all of this. It's for his good and for his benefit, though it's hard and difficult, and he doesn't understand a lot, but he knows that God is good. He knows that God has not abandoned him. He knows that God is acquainted with what he's going on, and he knows that in the end, it will be for his good, that God will bring him through it all, and I will come forth as gold, as gold. This is the peaceable fruit of righteousness that is produced in us by the discipline of the Lord, by God's discipline that he brings upon us. 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, these are manifestations of his faith, right? An unbeliever is not going to say this, that I know God knows what I'm going through. I've just lost all my property. 10 of my children have died, and I've been afflicted with the most horrific disease in the world. Most unbelievers at that point are going to curse God and blaspheme God, right, in despair, or go and kill themselves. Job isn't doing any of those things. Job trusts in God, and he says, I know that all of this that is happening is ultimately going to be for my good. It's going to be for my good. And that comes from faith, right? Only a believer can respond to what Job has done and have that in his mind. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him. And you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul." So there, faith, when tested, is more precious than gold. And that is what Job sees is going on here. His faith is being tested, and after the test, it will be more precious than gold, right? It's going to be refined, and it'll be an even greater measure of faith that he has. This is the steadfastness of Job, right? And we see how God dealt with him, how God was faithful to him, God did not desert that man. In James chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, or verses 7 to 11, James 5, 7 to 11, there it says, "Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." So there, you have heard of Job's endurance, and you see how God dealt with him. And was God only compassionate and merciful to Job after the trial? He was compassionate and merciful to him in the trial. And actually, the trial, as it came from God, was coming from his compassion and from his mercy for Job's good, in order to test him and to try him, right? And this is the way we must see God as well. We must trust in his faithfulness and his goodness, right? His goodness and faithfulness to us, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of whatever we go through in this life, we must be convinced that God is good, that God is good, and that he will do good to his people, both in this life and ultimately in the life to come. Job, he has such confidence. Okay, verse 11. Here, Job asserts, again, his integrity. His integrity. Verse 11. "My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Here, Job is not claiming to be sinless, but he is saying that he is a sincere, conscientious believer, a Christian, right? He wants to walk with God. He's pursuing the way of truth and righteousness, right? Just as I hope would be true of all of us, right? That we want to follow God. We want to live lives that are pleasing to him. None of us have any delusion that we're perfect and sinless. I hope not, right? No one here thinks they're sinless, okay? Because if you do, I could tell you many times that you've sinned, right? So none of us are sinless. None of us believe that. Yet at the same time, we can say that we're striving to walk in his way, to keep to his path. We don't want to depart from his commandment. We treasure the words of God, right? We want to know God's word. That's why you're here tonight, to hear the word of the Lord, so that you can treasure it, so that you can know the will of God. Not that we ever follow it perfectly, but this is what we desire and what we want. And that's what Job means here. His friends have accused him of many gross sins. Last week, Eliphaz accused him of exploiting the poor, of taking advantage of those who are vulnerable, who are weak. And Job had not done any such things, right? He is trying to live a faithful, conscientious Christian life, just as all true believers want to do. So he maintains his integrity, that all this that has come upon me, it's not punishment from God because of some grave sin that I've been committing. It's not because I'm a wicked man who's unreconciled to God. No, I trust in the Lord. My life bears out that I've trusted in the Lord. God loves me. God is good to me, right? And so he's maintaining his integrity, that he is trying to live a life pleasing to God. He's not a hypocrite, and he's not living in some gross, hidden, scandalous sin as his friends have accused him. Okay, then verses 13 to 17. Here, he recognizes that God can do whatever he wants. Whatever he wants. And he doesn't have to answer to anyone, okay? "He is unique, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him." God is unique, because God is the only one who is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. And whatever God wills to do, he brings it about, and no one can stop him. There's no creature, right, that exists, whether angel or man or animal, who can say that whatever they want to do, they're always able to accomplish it. Only God can do that because only God has the power to do so. So whatever God wants to do, Job admits, he can do it. Right? What his soul desires, this is what God does. Therefore, in Job's case, what has happened to Job was appointed by God. God's the one that brought it about. Job recognizes that God did it. God has the right to do it. God can do whatever he pleases, and Job cannot turn it back. And this is the way it is with the Lord. We receive from God. We cannot protest. We cannot resist it. We cannot overturn it. Right? We can't say this isn't fair. Are we not his creatures? Is he not the potter and we are the clay? And does the potter not have rights to do with the clay whatever he pleases? So God can do whatever he wants with us, with our lives. And if he wants to use our lives in a certain way, then God can do it. And no one can say, what are you doing? And no one can resist his will. Job recognizes that. And everything that has come about in Job's life, he says, I know all of it has come from the Lord, right? It has come from God, and there's nothing that I can do about it. Verse 15, he says, therefore, I would be dismayed at his presence. When I consider, I am terrified of him. It is God who has made my heart faint, and the Almighty who has dismayed me. But I am not silenced by the darkness, nor deep gloom which covers me. Right? He understands God's ways, and he has proper fear of the Lord, that God can do whatever he wants, and God could do even more terrible things to him if he wanted. God is the one, he says, who has brought me into this situation, who has made me faint, right? Who has made me faint, who has overwhelmed me. But even though I know God is the one who has brought me here, he says, I'm not going to be silenced by the darkness. The darkness that is overwhelming me is not going to keep me from crying out to God. I will continue to plead my case to the Lord, and I will continue to cry out to him for God to deliver me. That's Job's attitude. Again, it reflects the faith that Job has. Okay, so that's the chapter. A couple of things, I think, for us to consider here in this chapter. One, you do see sanctification through suffering, right? We mentioned that earlier. That's what Job recognizes. Everything that he's going through, God is bringing him through it, and it's for his good, and it will ultimately result in him being refined like gold that passes through fire. This is why God gives afflictions to his children in this life. It is not because he hates us. It is not because he wants us to be miserable. It's not because he loves to torture people, right? Like he's a sicko up there just looking at and trying to afflict people. The reason God brings afflictions on his children is because he loves them. And he's more concerned with our sanctification than he is our happiness in this life, that he is our comforts in this life. And many times, many Christians through the years would testify that they experience more growth in their faith and in godliness through times of affliction than they do in times of comfort. Right? Whenever, it's like the athlete. We needed this yesterday at flag football because the boys were getting tired. They were getting tired. It was hot out there yesterday because they haven't been properly conditioned, right? It is those conditioning days, right? The difficult, the dog days of summer that the coach has to drive them through, make them experience these very difficult times in order to prepare them so that they're able to play at a high level whenever they enter into their games. But if you don't press them and just let them sit around on the couch, they're never going to be able to do those things. And this is what God has to do to us. He has to exercise us through discipline. Through discipline, and the way he disciplines us is with hardships and afflictions. And God knows exactly what we can take. He knows how to measure it out, and he will not give us more than we can bear. So whatever we're bearing or enduring, we can know for certain that it's come to us from God, that he loves us, it's for our good, and he will never give us more than we can bear, right? Most of us will never experience what Job experienced. Praise the Lord, right? And most of us could not bear what Job experienced. It tells us what kind of a man Job was and how much faith and how much grace of God was in him for him to go through all that he did and to still maintain his faith in the Lord. So sanctification through suffering. Trial refines believers like gold. We also see here God's providence, his sovereignty, right? Job understands that God is sovereign over all things and that everything that has happened to him is a result of the will of God, right? And he is trusting in those things. In terms of application, we have to seek the Lord whether we feel like it or not, right? Pursue the Lord whether we feel like it or not, right? We can't just read our Bibles and pray and come to church and worship God and whenever we feel like doing those things, because our feelings are very fickle. We can't trust them. We can't trust them at all. So we have to do what's right in the sight of the Lord, right? What we know to be true, that's what we have to pursue. And many times, God's goodness is that it may be that there are times you're like, I really don't want to go to church today. Has anyone ever experienced that? Or you guys are always like, I want to go. I can't wait to see Pastor Jerry. It's the greatest day of the week. Is that how everyone is? That's how, it's to see Amy. Okay, it's not to see me. So yes, so there are times where we may not want to, or we may get up and we don't feel like reading our Bible. Yet many times when we persevere in those things and we begin to read our Bible or we begin to worship God, what ends up happening with our feelings? They change, right? They change and we're rejuvenated and then we're like, okay, this is wonderful, right? This is wonderful and I am very glad to be here and I'm glad that I didn't listen to my feelings, right? So we need to seek God even when he feels distant. This is the call for perseverance. And then I think too in this chapter and really all throughout the book of Job, when we are going through trials, there is the freedom not to blaspheme God. Of course, we should never blaspheme God. But Job doesn't have the stiff upper lip approach, you know, where we just have to be stoic and say, I'm just going to act like nothing is wrong and everything is great and wonderful. Job is very honest about what he's feeling, what he's thinking, and he's lamenting to God, right? He's crying out to God. But he's being very honest about it. And that is an expression of faith, So faith does not call us to just act like, you know, okay, all of my children died. Well, it's not a big deal. Of course it's a big deal, right? And I have horrible boils all over me, and I'm having to scrape them with a piece of pottery, right? That is a horrible thing to have to experience and endure. And it's okay for us to say, this is miserable, right? Why am I going through this? And to cry out to God in such times. And so you see that all throughout the book of Job. Okay, one other thing I wanted to just briefly read that goes along with this. I remembered today when I was reading this that in the Christian's Reasonable Service, there was a section that he had on spiritual desertion. These guys, they think of everything, okay? And in this, he's talking about exactly what Job is experiencing. Because what Job experienced is a common experience that many Christians face throughout their Christian life. Times where they feel like God has abandoned them, or that it seems dark, that they don't know where God is. They feel like he has deserted them, okay? And there's a term for it. It's called spiritual desertion, right? Times where it seems darkness in those things. And so he has a chapter dealing with this and describing what is going on and what is happening during such times. And I thought it was helpful. And so I thought I might read just a little paragraph here from Brackle. Brackle says this. He says, spiritual desertion is a lengthy withholding and withdrawal of those normal operations and influences of the Holy Spirit in the regenerate by which he illuminates them, assures them of his favor, comforts them, fortifies them against sin and temptation, and renders them help in and deliverance from temporal trials. This causes them to be in darkness, weak in faith, disconsolate, to fall into sin, to succumb to temptations, and to remain grieved and fretful in the bearing of a temporal cross. So that's how he defines spiritual desertion. a withdrawing from the normal influences for a season in order to test the believer and to bring them through these times, especially during seasons of suffering. That's when people many times feel such spiritual desertion. So it's not something that is... If a person experiences that, it doesn't mean that they're a sub-Christian, that they're inferior, that they're weak, that they are unworthy. These are common experiences throughout the Christian life. And there are some people who their natural disposition is more given to what they used to call melancholy. I think we would call it depression. They're more somber, more introspective. They tend more toward a depressive state. And there are people who are like that. But many times they feel inferior as Christians because they're not chipper and happy all the time like other people. But we shouldn't be like that, right? Because what makes us worthy is not us. It is Christ and what he's done for us. And that's where our hope is found, not in our feelings, not in what we're seeing and experiencing. So be encouraged, right? Be encouraged. If you've ever gone through those seasons, it doesn't mean that you are a second-rate Christian. Job went through such seasons. David went through such seasons. And we know that those men were, the Lord loved them, and the Lord loves us as well.